I shared this last Sunday at the Lanson Community Church, and because I'm an equal opportunity dad joke pastor, here goes. Did you know that many people believe this book we're studying proves that men should be making the coffee? Did you know that? He brews. Got it? So at least till Thanksgiving, Myron, he brews. Okay. There we go. Last week we saw in the opening verses of chapter 1 that Jesus is way better. Jesus is way better. Jesus is way better because he's the heir of all things. Jesus is the recipient of the universe, is his inheritance. Jesus is way better because Jesus created the cosmos. He's the creative one of the Trinity. Third, Jesus is way better because Jesus radiates the Father's glory. Fourth, Jesus is way better because he expresses the character of God. Jesus is literally God with skin on. Fifth, Jesus is way better because Jesus is the super glue of the universe. He holds the universe together. He keeps the cosmos in precise order. And sixth, Jesus is way better because only Jesus has provided cleansing from our sin. Oh, by the way, once for all, one time, and it's done, complete, for all of eternity. Today, the writer of Hebrews is going to get more specific and more detailed in his praise and admiration of Jesus. Today, we're going to see Jesus is greater than the angels. Can you say it with me? Jesus is greater than the angels. And he's going to say that in a lot of different ways. Now, why were the Hebrew Christians so in awe, so infatuated with angels? Well, they sort of thought that when the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, that angels were a big part of that in Deuteronomy chapter 33. If you read 33:2, it's not really there, but they kind of had this story behind it. And the Jews of this day also believed that the Lord convened a congress of angels. And he kind of listened to them, and the angels gave advice to the Lord, guidance to God. I'm not sure where that came from. Certainly didn't get it from the Bible, but that's what they were thinking. The other thing about angels, and it's still true today, angels offer some religious and supernatural presence with no demands or commands. You understand? A touch of the supernatural without any kind of commitment on our part. You don't have to necessarily obey angels. You just sort of enjoy their presence. Now, these wrong beliefs bent and distorted and twisted their thinking. They started thinking angels were almost godlike. They were amazing. And many of these Jews were even worshiping and adoring the angels. Okay? Today, we're going to see from the first chapter of Hebrews, listen, Jesus is so much greater than the angels. That's his point. Jesus, you know, you might like the angels and you might feel like you've been touched by an angel at some point, but I'm telling you, Jesus is so much greater. We're in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. Locate that on your phone, in your Bibles if you're able. Would you stand with me? We're going to read out loud together. Verses 4 to 8, Hebrews chapter 1. Let's read why Jesus is so much greater than the angels. Here we go. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, "You are my Son. Today I've become your Father." God also said, "I will be his Father and he will be my Son." And when he brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, "Let all of God's angels worship him." Regarding the angels, he says, "He sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire." But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us your inspired book. And Lord, now as we dig into these inspired words that you have for us, might the very same Spirit that inspired the writer of Hebrews, might that same Spirit have freedom here in your church today. So we're asking today you might speak and teach and correct and encourage us here this morning. I want to pray for my friends here who are struggling. Some here are hurting and in pain, there's strain, there's confusion going on in their life. Lord, might your grace and your mercy rain down on them today. That's what we're asking in their time of need. Come and take charge today in your church, and all the church family gathered at the Walloon Lake Community Church said with one united voice, amen. You can be seated. True story. A woman in New Mexico was frying tortillas when she noticed that the skillet burns on one of her tortillas resembled the face of Jesus. I think we have that. Put that up, Dan, if you would. There's Jesus on a tortilla. She excitedly showed her husband and her family and her neighbors, and they all agreed that face etched on the tortilla bore a resemblance to Jesus. Maria was so excited, that was her name, she took her tortilla to her priest to have the tortilla blessed. She testified that the tortilla had changed her life. And her husband agreed that she'd become more peaceful, happy, and submissive since the tortilla had arrived. So the priest agreed to bless the tortilla. Maria took the tortilla home. She built a shrine to the tortilla with piles of cotton that made the tortilla look like it was floating on the clouds. This became known as the Shrine of Jesus the Tortilla. True story. In the first few months, more than 8,000 people came to view Jesus the Tortilla. And most agreed, yeah, it does look like the face of Jesus, except one reporter who thought it looked like former heavyweight boxing champion Leon Spinks. But everybody else thought it looked like Jesus. We laugh at stories like that, but the truth is, Satan uses lots of strange ways to attack the person of Jesus Christ. One of his most dangerous tricks, listen close, is to lower the status of Jesus just slightly below the status of God with skin on. Just lower him just a bit. Even a burnt tortilla or a misshapen Cheeto. I could show you a misshapen Cheeto that looks like Jesus, or a rust stain in a ceiling that looks like Jesus to some. This is important, okay? Because historically, there have been two main religious groups that believe that Jesus is not only equal to angels, but that Jesus really is just an angel, a created being of God. Case in point, okay? Mormonism, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, teaches that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. And now Lucifer, we know, is a created angel, and Jesus created Lucifer and all of the angels. But somehow in their doctrine, they say, no, they're both created angels. They are saying Jesus is the spirit child conceived and begotten by the Heavenly Father. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, who always has been and always will be. And they say Lucifer, Satan, were also conceived by the Heavenly Father. Now I'm going to quote the Mormon publication Ensign. On first hearing the doctrine that Lucifer and Jesus Christ are brothers, that may be surprising to some. Both the scriptures and the prophets affirm that Jesus Christ are offspring of our Heavenly Father and are therefore spirit brothers. That's disturbing because that's not found in God's book, the Bible. Okay? Let me give you the other example. The other group, Jehovah's Witnesses, believe that Jesus is really just Michael the Archangel in human person. Okay? They believe that Michael the Archangel in heaven, when he took on human form, became Jesus. And after his resurrection from the dead, he went back up into heaven and resumed his service as Michael the chief angel. Now, I understand that on any given Sunday we might have some here today, or maybe watching online. You might be Mormon or Jehovah's Witnesses visiting with us, and I just want to pause and say, we're glad you're here. We welcome you here. We really do. But with kindness and respect, you need to know that what you believe in terms of Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. You need to know that. You need to know Jesus is not the spirit brother of Lucifer. You need to know that Jesus is not the archangel Michael. God's word, the Bible, teaches that Jesus is so much greater than any angel, okay? Just as verse 8 makes clear, your throne, O God, referring to Jesus. Jesus is deity. Jesus is God with skin on. That's what God's word says and declares. So, why is Jesus greater than the angels? Let's just work through this section, okay? First reason why Jesus is greater than the angels is because Jesus has a greater name and a greater title than the angels. Here we go, verse 4. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name of God gave him is greater than their names. Verse 5. For God never said to any angel what he has said to Jesus, you are my Son. Today I've become your Father. God also said, I will be his Father and he will be my Son. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, is God the Father's only begotten Son. Only begotten Son. Jesus came to earth to seek and to save the lost. He came to earth to die for our sins. At Jesus' baptism, do you remember what the Father said about the Son? This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. These are the words of a proud father regarding his Son. Yeah. Jesus is greater than the angels because only Jesus was given the name and the title of Son. God the Father, first person of the Trinity. God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. Second reason why Jesus is greater than the angels, Jesus has greater honor than the angels. Look at the text with me, Hebrews 1, verse 6. And when he had brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, "Let all of God's angels worship him." Verse 7, regarding the angels, he says, "He sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire." This is key. Give me your eyes. Jesus is worshiped by the angels, not vice versa. Okay? Do you understand? Jesus is the one who receives worship and adoration and praise from the angels. Jesus never worships the angels. Okay? Jesus alone is worthy of worship and praise. Verse 7 tells us that the angels were Jesus' angels. Jesus sends his angels. Why? Because he's the boss. He's in charge, and angels obey the commands of Jesus. Angels are the created servants of Jesus. They're his possession, and they are ministers of Jesus. Tracking with me? Okay. And one day, here's the picture that we're going to see. Jesus on the throne, and here's what Revelation 5, 11 and 12 tells us. Then I looked again, John writes, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. Verse 12. And they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Who's the one that millions and millions of angels are worshiping here? And the answer is, it's Jesus. Jesus is the one who's receiving all of the honor and the glory and the adoration. So, let me just remind you, when something bad happens and you live, when you're in a horrific car accident and something bad happens, and we give praise to the guardian angel, we're not giving praise to the right one. Who's sent the guardian angel? Who's in charge of the angels who protect us? And the answer is Jesus. Always give praise to the one who is our protector, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is greater than angels. He receives the glory and the honor. When you have millions cheering up in the stands, who's the star? Who's the king? Who's the master? It's Jesus. Third reason Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus has eternal authority. Eternal authority. Verse 8. But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You'll rule with a scepter of justice." Verse 9. "You love justice, you hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else." Jesus has a throne. We just read about that, Revelation chapter 5. And oh, by the way, it's an eternal forever throne, okay? He rules as King of Kings and Lord of Lords with a scepter of justice. Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. That's a scepter. Okay? Only the king can hold the scepter. It's a symbol of power. It's something that only the king can hold, only the king can lean upon. It's the king's scepter. No angel can touch and hold the scepter. In heaven, the party is all about Jesus. Do you understand? There's going to be a forever, eternal party going on. And who is the invited king and guest and star of the show? It's Jesus. We will be casting our crowns before whose feet? Okay? Jesus' feet. Revelation 4, 9 to 11. Look again at verse 9. Any joy that comes to our lives flows from Jesus. And that's true today. Any joy that we have in our lives, holy hope, holy optimism, any joy that's going on in our lives, that's a gift from Jesus, flowing from the Spirit of Jesus that lives right here. Okay? If you don't have any joy in your life, no love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, any of that missing? Is that missing from your life today? Guess who else is missing? Jesus. Because Jesus, when he's right here and large and in charge, the joy is flowing. Jesus is greater than the angels. He's got eternal authority, and Jesus alone is the source of joy. So if you want joy, remember that only comes from being in right relationship with Jesus. Fourth reason, that Jesus is greater than the angels. Jesus is superior to the angels in his eternal existence. His eternal existence. Look at it, verse 10. He also says to the Son, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. Verse 11, they will perish, but you remain forever. They'll wear out like old clothing. You'll fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You, Jesus, will live, how long? Forever. In case you don't understand this, Jesus, as God with skin on, has always existed. Jesus never had a beginning. He's always existed. Angels are created beings created by the Creator, Jesus Christ. Jesus is eternal. Always has been, in eternity past, always will be, in eternity to come. Okay? Jesus always has existed. Okay? We know that there are hundreds of billions of stars in our galaxy, the Milky Way. Who created all the hundreds of billions of stars in the Milky Way? Can you tell me who? Oh, Jesus did that. And we know there are hundreds of billions of galaxies in our universe. Who created the hundreds of billions of galaxies? Can you tell me who? Oh, Jesus did that. And when it's time for the earth to be redone, to be destroyed and remade, who's going to do all that? 2 Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth, everything on it, will be found to deserve judgment. Verse 13, but we're looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth, he's promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. What does that look like? Revelation 21, Revelation 22. What's the new heaven and the new earth all about? Revelation 21 and 22. You can read that for yourself. Look it up. Jesus, here's what it says here in Hebrews. He's going to roll creation up like dirty socks. You know what I'm talking about, guys? You know? And we don't just throw them on the floor. He's going to roll them up and he's going to toss them into the dirty clothes, and then it says he's going to roll out a new set of clothes on the earth called the new heaven and the new earth. Jesus is so much greater than the angels because he's the creator, he's the judge, and he's the one who's large and in charge of the new heaven and the new earth. He creates it, and he's going to roll it out just like a new set of clothes. Fifth, final reason, Jesus is greater than the angels. Because Jesus alone sits at the place of honor and glory. Verse 13, read with me. It says, "And God never said to any of the angels, 'Sit in the place of honor at my right hand, until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet.'" Verse 14, "Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation." Angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people, us, who will inherit salvation. Okay? Angels are not served. Say it again. Angels don't get served. The purpose of angels is to serve Jesus and serve followers of Jesus. You tracking? The purpose of angels is to serve and do the work of Jesus and to serve those of us who will inherit salvation, those of us who know Jesus personally. Okay? Angels are servants. Okay? Let me say it this way. Angels are the cooks and the waiters and the maitre d's in the restaurant. Okay? Angels are not the honored guests. Angels are cooks and waiters and maitre d's. Verse 13, look at it. Jesus sits at the place of honor and glory. Who's the honored guest, the star of the show? And the answer is Jesus. Jesus is the one we focus our attention upon. Heaven and earth are passing away. The only permanent one is Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is greater because angels are only servants. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Jesus is greater, clearly so much greater than the angels. So what does this mean for me and for you? How should this affect our daily lives? First, if anyone tries to persuade you that Jesus is not fully God, if anybody tries to convince you that Jesus is a little bit lower than fully second person of the Trinity, please know that temptation is coming from Satan. Satan's goal, he's trying the best he can to get you to worship anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ. So if anybody's teaching any kind of purpose, the message of a book or a movie or a song is trying to get you to lower who Jesus is, please know that's coming directly from the enemy, Lucifer. Currently, there are over 1 billion people who believe that Jesus was a great prophet. They'll tell you, oh yeah, he was a good prophet, but he was not God. Can I just tell you that lie, believed by millions and a billion adherents of Islam, leads people to judgment, leads people to hell. Because it just leads away from Jesus. It brings doubt and fear. As soon as you lower Jesus, suddenly now everything is in doubt. If Jesus is not God with skin on, if he's not the second person of the Trinity, then what he did on the cross for us, his sacrifice, his shed blood, does not atone for our sins. That's where the doubt, that's where the fear comes from. God's word is clear and strong. Give me your eyes. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and Jesus alone is the only way to eternal life. Do you believe that? Even in our country, can I tell you? There are tens of millions of people who say things like this. Well, Jesus was a good teacher. Well, Jesus was a good moral example. But they refuse to bow down and worship Jesus as their Lord and Savior and King. Okay? And Jesus, this is true, unless you bow your knee at the foot of Jesus and invite him to be Savior and Lord and King, then one day Jesus will look them in the eye and say, I never knew you. I never knew you. You just thought I was a good example, and I was just a good teacher. I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. That's what Matthew tells us very clearly. Second way Jesus being greater than the angels should affect us, biblical Christianity, with our faith in Jesus alone, has never been found tried and wanting. Never. It's only been found difficult and therefore not tried. It's only been found, well, this is hard and therefore not tried. Jesus is not only greater than the powerful angels that he created, Jesus is greater than any pain or struggle or heartache or trouble that you're facing today. I think I should say that again, okay? Jesus is not only greater than any angel, he's greater than any struggle or pain or heartache or trouble that any of us is facing today. Jesus is so much greater. He really is. Won't you today, I love this hymn, won't you turn your eyes upon Jesus? Won't you today trust the second person of the Trinity, God with skin on, to walk with you as your good shepherd? He knows your name. Think about it. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows all about you. And it says, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of Jesus' glory and grace. Let's pray. Lord, we worship and praise you as the exalted one today. You are the reason we live and breathe and have hope. Can we just acknowledge, Lord, you are infinitely greater than any person or angelic being ever. And we want you, Jesus, to have the rightful place in our lives, the place of honor and glory. Lord, we want you to be the number one desire of our hearts. We exalt you today in your church. Might Jesus be lifted high right now, today, and in this week ahead as we begin this new season of fall. Lord, might the old idols fall away. Might Jesus be lifted high in our lives. And finally, Lord, if there's anyone here in person watching online who's believed the lie that you're just a good teacher or a good prophet or a good moral example, but they've never believed that you, Jesus, are the Savior of the world. You've always existed. You created everything in the universe. Jesus, you literally are the light of the world. Would you today believe in Jesus as your Savior and King? Would you accept Jesus into your life and welcome him in? Here's the fact. Jesus wants to welcome you. Whosoever will believe, come on in. And he'll invite you to be a part of his royal family. How do you do that? Jesus, I believe. I believe you took my place on the cross. I believe, Jesus, you shed your blood to wipe my sin slate clean. Wash, cleanse. Jesus, I believe you took my place in the grave. You were dead for me. And Jesus, I believe early Sunday morning, you victoriously arose from the dead. You did that for me. I believe that. And by faith, right now, right where you're seated, watching online, I welcome you, Jesus. I receive you. I want to become a child of yours. Jesus, come on in. Take charge of my life. I bow my knee at your throne. Be my Savior, my King, my forever friend. And if you make that choice today, we'd love to celebrate with you. If you're watching online, hit that prayer button. We'll have a private chat with you. If you're here in person, make your way over to the prayer corner. I'll be down middle door. Love to chat with you. Love to celebrate with you. Get you off on your journey right. Thank you, Jesus, for being so great and amazing and awesome. Help us every day to continually to worship you as you deserve. We love you. It's in the mighty name of King Jesus we pray all these things. Amen. He's our rock, is he not? Yeah. Let's stand together. Let's worship the Lord in song as we close.